Hi, my name is Sam. As some are whispering over there, I guess I could say welcome. I'm not the coordinators, but I'd like to welcome us again. You know, we came from many different places here to spend some time with each other, with this property, with the Bible, and with the Lord. And I kind of have I was thinking about like my task for tonight. Everyone just drove in, you're tired, you probably don't really know each other. And you might have like a lot of reasons why you're here. Maybe you are a freshman and you moved to a new city just a few months ago, and you're like, I'm here, I'm ready to experience the world. And then the first week of school, someone talks to you and says, hey, do you believe in Jesus? And you're like, what? Like, oh, I didn't know college was gonna be like this. And then like, you might not even know why you're here. Somehow, that happened 3 months ago, and you have no idea what happened, and then you're here in a chair. And you're like, oh my goodness. Well, what happened? I kind of like it, but what happened? So some of us are like that. Some of us on the other side, you're sitting here in this chair because you know the Lord Jesus, and you started to love the Lord Jesus, and you even decided to quit a year of school or work or whatever in between grad school studying, so that you could study the Bible for a year. And you're sitting here in these chairs. And I'm talking to both of you at the same time. And we're talking about salvation, the joy of full salvation. So I was thinking, what do I want out of this intro message? Okay, I have to like go through the topics, we have to read the verses, introduce everything, prepare you for the weekend, not be too heavy so you can like still be joyful. But I was really thinking, and you know, there's one major thing I hope you can get from this. So, you know, I haven't started yet, this is my thinking, sitting in this chair. I hope every person here, whether you were whirlwinded into this chair or you gave up a year to pursue the Lord, I hope everyone could say, no, you know what? Not I hope. I'm just gonna put it out there. I think you don't really know what salvation is. That's what I'm gonna tell you. You're sitting here in this chair, and you may have given a year of your life to follow the Lord, to read the Bible, to be with brothers and sisters in a way that, honestly, you try to explain to your friends and they just don't get it. You don't know what salvation is. You don't really know why you're sitting in this chair. And I'd like to kind of, hopefully, like the song said, open your eyes a little bit to the wonder of salvation. So we're here, it says, the joy of full salvation. That's the title of the conference. Salvation, we can start backwards. We're gonna go backwards. What is salvation? On one side, it's like the most basic of Christian experiences. It tells you three things, very simple. One, you have a problem. Two, you can't fix the problem. That's why it's salvation, you need saving. And then three, someone else is gonna fix that problem. Very simple. If you're a Christian, you can say, yeah, I know what salvation is. Jesus is my savior. Like, I had a problem, that's sin. And maybe I tried a lot or I didn't try a lot, but I just realized I can't do it. And then I know Jesus, he's my savior. Wow, salvation, easy. But it's also one of the most like profound, complicated, frustrating, joyful experiences that a Christian can grow in. And even a mature Christian is like, I think I'm still learning salvation. So, salvation, we're here. Okay, full. what is full salvation? I was asking Ben, Ben, what is full salvation? Joy of full salvation. You know, I think there are many ways you can think about it. Like, when you think of full, that means not empty. That's pretty good. You have a salvation that is not empty. Hey, wouldn't you like to have a salvation that's not empty? There's a song that says, not a half salvation, but the uttermost. Oh, isn't that's a good, I like that line. I don't want a half salvation. But then as I was thinking about Ephesians, we're covering Ephesians, I was like, that's not quite the salvation we're talking about, you know. My favorite message is like, you only have a half salvation. What are you doing? Joe Dang, what are you doing? You've been a Christian for so long. But that's not really what we're talking about here. Actually, in Ephesians, it has a picture of a salvation that's full. It's like bursting at the seams. Imagine a water balloon that is, you just feel like it's going to burst any moment, but it's still pouring water in. And it's getting bigger and bigger and more see-through. And, you know, it wasn't like, was it full? Yes. Is it full? Yes. Is it full? Yes. It's not half and then full. It's full and then fuller and fuller and fuller. There's a salvation that is abounding, bursting, full. And then joy. Hey, that's a good word. When you have salvation, there's joy. That's the mark of salvation. The real mark of salvation is you're joyful. I think the average Christian's experience is this. When you believe in the Lord, you're so joyful. You're like jumping up and down. You're like calling your friends. You're just like, the sky is bluer. The grass is greener. You know, like, I never heard the birds sing songs before. Now I hear it. And then after a while, it kind of like, it kind of goes down. And then you're like, oh, okay. Wait, now there's like, I have to go to meetings. I have to read the Bible. I'm supposed to like serve. And then somehow the joy that was there gets replaced with duty, obligation, pressure, guilt. It's like this complicated feeling. Maybe some of you have that experience. But hey, the joy. We're here to talk about joy. Why? Because that's why I can say, like, you're all sitting here, and I don't think you know salvation, because you're not that joyful. I'm just going to tell you, you're just not that joyful. Come on, guys. You're just not that joyful. But hey, there's a joy in full salvation. And okay, this was not part of the message. This is just the title of the conference. I hope you guys have your sheets. These have the verses on it. But we're going to cover Ephesians chapter 2. You can click 1 through 10. And this is the whole conference. So the whole conference, it will be Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 10. This is the NASB translation, 1995. If you want to memorize it, like you could probably memorize it tonight. Hey, we're going to talk about it the whole time. So it's really good. Salvation in Ephesians is really interesting. When we think about salvation, we think like, I have problems. Like I said, I have problems. I'm a sinner. Enoch, are you a sinner? It's so easy. Rachel, are you a sinner? Daniel, are you a sinner? Hey, if you ask someone on the street, are you a sinner? What do you think they'll say?
No.
Have you asked anyone on the street, are you a sinner? Let me tell you what. Hey, have you sinned before? Do you know what? I guarantee you, like, everyone will say, they'll say, yeah, like, I'm not perfect. And I think when we talk about salvation, often that's what we're thinking about. But Ephesians is totally different. It says this, and you were dead hey, you thought your problem was sin. Let me tell you, you don't know what your problem is. This is why you don't know what salvation is. You don't actually know what's wrong with you. And you also don't know what God has done. So your problem is you have too high of an estimation of your life before you met the Lord. Or if you have not met the Lord, you have too high of an estimation of your life right now. And you have too low of an estimation of where God has brought you. And so this weekend, we're going to hopefully just open a little bit, I wish we had like 10 meetings, you know, to see where was I, who am I, and what has God done? One more thing before we read this. You know, I read, there's a spiritual sister, and she wrote a book called Life on the Highest Plane, and in it is a quote. She says something like this: the Bible is a mirror. When you look at the Bible, it shows you who you really are. And in the Bible contains God's photography studio of you. God is the perfect photographer. He knows exactly who you are, and he has captured it and put it in the Bible. And then she writes, dare you read it? Dare you read it? Find out who you are. She was talking about Corinthians, but we're going to talk about Ephesians. So I'm going to read the next slide. The first three verses. This is what the Bible says you are. And you, Daniel, and you, William, and you, David, were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. This is God's photograph. This is you. Next slide. We thought we should draw a nice picture. So Mariandra drew us a very nice picture. Man, according to God. Ray's in the back. Ray, can you see it? The top says, Ephesians 2, dire straits. I like it. I wrote the plight of man, but dire straits is more lit. I don't know, maybe more poetic. Dire straits. According to the Bible, next slide, you're dead. It's you. You, R.I.P. According to the Bible, God's perfect photograph, you're not alive. It's not that you have some problems. You sin occasionally. You offend people occasionally. You're not the perfect person you always wish you were. No, the problem is you're dead. Everything that God has, his grace, his mercy, his work, his plan, the works that he has prepared for man, the love that he has to show, the wondrous things that he's doing all the time. You don't even know why you're dead. You're in a coffin. And a dead man can't do anything. We'll talk about that more. next to it, aside. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked. Okay, you're like, wait, I thought I was dead. How am I walking? Well, you're the walking dead.
Thank you, Marianne.
Not only are you dead to God, you are actually very alive to something else. Trespasses and sins. And I really like how Marianne drew, it's like a circle. You live in the realm of trespasses and sins. Your whole life, your whole walk before you knew God was permeated with sin. We'll also talk about this a little bit more later, so this is like a sneak peek, but sometimes, you know, some commentators are like, what are trespasses, what are sins? And they all argue, so there's not a really good answer. One I kind of like is, trespasses is like, there was a boundary and you stepped over it. So then, you know, it's like you're walking on a path that God has set out, that's righteousness, and then you just like meandered off, you know? A friend says, hey, can you pass me my phone? It's charging over there. And you pick it up and you look and, oh, they got some text and you read it. Why? You don't even realize why. Because you walk in trespasses and sins. Your whole life, you just trespass, you don't even think about it. Maybe someone invited you to the house. Maybe one of these dear brothers and sisters invited you to the house. And you go in, you take off your shoes, because a lot of you are Asian. And they sit you down in the sitting room. And then they say, hey, I'm just going to run to the kitchen real quick and get some water. And then they go and they run to the kitchen. They're like maybe prepping some food for you. And you decide to take a look around. Did they invite you into the whole house? Have you ever like walked around and it's like, oh, like what's this? Oh, bedroom. Hey, I'm gonna go, hey, can I go use the bathroom? And then, Okay, I kinda like those because they're like kinda silly. So the commentator says, trespasses. You like step over your bound. And sins, easy, it's evil deeds. Your life. You're walking in evil deeds. You don't think it. Actually, I really like this, I heard this. Most people think they're a good person who does evil things occasionally. Or they do slightly bad things occasionally. But the reality is, you're an evil person that somehow stumbles upon a good deed every once in a while. And let me prove it to you. When you do a good thing, you know what happens? You notice. Wow, I helped a friend today. I'm gonna get some ice cream. Why? Because that's not normal. Your whole life, you're just walking selfishly, thinking about yourself, living for yourself, trying to gain something for yourself. I was with a Christian college student, and he said, with no feeling, oh man, I just like didn't have time to do that quiz, so I just asked my friend for all the answers. No feeling. Evil deeds. Next slide. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. This is the course of this world, it's a river. Not only are you dead in a coffin, walking, dead man walking in evil deeds and in trespasses. There's something called the course of this world. You don't even realize you're following it. You're walking according to it. You think, because you're American, I'm going to be strong, independent, I'm gonna make my way into this world, and I'm gonna be myself, I'm gonna find who I am. And you don't realize, even that thought is just the course of the world. Someone else dictating your life. some system, the world system, dictating who you are, who you're going to be, what you think is interesting, what you think is good, and you don't even realize it, you just follow it. Why did you go to college? Because everyone goes to college. Well, not everyone. Because everyone, according to your like socioeconomic status and your grades, goes to college. Did the Lord tell you to go to college? Jake Way. Did the Lord tell you to go to college? Course of the world. You're just living according to what everyone does. This is just, you don't even know it. You're just swept away. You blink and you're somewhere else. You're on a river. You blink and you're somewhere else. You blink and you're somewhere else. Anna Beck, what happened last night? Just like in the world, what happened last night? You have no idea what I'm thinking of, but I'm gonna see if you know. What is the course of the world that you got swept in? That's right. Taylor Swift dropped a new album last night. How many people have already listened to the whole thing? Ooh, about 4 or 5. Let me confess, even I listened to a song. I really like it. She's just like, I keep looking at the sun and I don't want to look at a mirror. Isn't that poetic? I hurt myself. Isn't it hard when you root for the anti-hero? Whoa. Course of the world. I don't even like music. Why am I listening to Taylor Swift? Like, I do not like pop music. Two, I don't listen to like music in my car ride normally. I'm a silence person. And then, you know what happened? This morning, I can't even plug my phone into my car. So I pulled it up on YouTube. Actually, I didn't even pull it up. I just opened YouTube, I don't even know why. And then on the front page said, Artist Spotlight, Taylor Swift. And I clicked on it. And I listened to the song, and I can still quote it to you. Even though I listened to it once this morning. Oh my goodness. Hey, this is me. Me, Rip. Course of the world. Next slide. According to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. This is a verse that I think us as 21st century Americans do not understand, because it says this. You, especially before you believed in the Lord, but let me tell you, it's still your experience now often, you're affected by Satan. There is a kingdom, prince. That means there's also a kingdom. And it's Satan's kingdom. And the way you walk, the way you live, it's according to what he wants. I don't know, you know, like, he's like, are you gonna tell me Taylor Swift is Satan? Like, no, everything in the world that is not specifically directed by the Spirit of God is like probably Satan or one of his kingdom, something in his kingdom. So you're dead. You're walking in trespasses and sins. You're just like being swept according to the course of this world. And there is the prince of the power of the air. It's the power of the air. What is the air? The air, you breathe it. Like, you breathe, you got air. Hey, is there air in this room? Hey, do you know Satan's probably here? Or one of his, commanders? Maybe we're too small for commanders. One of his, like, third level minions. He's in the air. Affecting the world. And mostly affecting you, influencing you, giving you thoughts, giving you darkness, blinding your eyes. Have you ever read a verse, read the Bible, and then you just realize, 5 minutes I was reading, not a single thing went in. Most of you are like good students. You can like read very well. How come when you read the Bible, you can't even say like, this is the subject, this is the predicate? It's hard. That's because there's a prince of the power of the air. Easy. The spirit that's not working the sons of disobedience. Okay, next verse. So we're going to talk about that one too. So I'm like trying to not talk about these too much because like that's what the rest of the conference is about. Among them, we too are formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. So now we have the arrow kind of zooming in. Hey, you, this is you. Notice he's like not that happy. And this is the three circle diagram. I don't know if we're going to talk about it, but according to the Bible, this is a different conference. You have a body, a soul, and a spirit. In your spirit, you're dead. That's what we talked about before. And you also have lust in your flesh. And you have desires of the flesh and of the mind. And before you know the Lord, you just live to fulfill your lust. Maybe for some people, you're like, when you think of lust, you think, like, I don't know, I just like really like girls, or I really like guys. That's okay, that's like the obvious way, but we have a lot of lust. Lust for attention, lust for respect, lust for power, lust for like the rush of gambling. Like, let me guarantee you, like, probably 80% of you in this room are gamblers. You love that rush. You can't even stop it. When you open up Instagram, how come it's 40 minutes later when you close it? Because you're looking for that rush. Maybe when I swipe the next time, it'll be funny. Maybe when I swipe the next time. Oh, TikTok. YouTube Shorts. I don't know. Instagram Reels. What's the newest like social media? Infinite Feed. Be Real? I don't know. Hey, why do you like that? It's gambling. Why do I check the news like 10 times a day? Nothing that different happens from the morning to the evening. But I'm gambling. I'm hoping for that article that just like tickles that spot in my brain. And I get a rush out of it. Sometimes you like, what is the rush? You get angry. You read things that make you angry. Who here likes to read things that make them angry? Actually, most of us like say, I don't like it, but I can't stop. The lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Those aren't the only lusts, but I just want everyone to know, like, don't just think it's like, I can't stop doing marijuana, or I can't stop like doing a hard drug, or I'm just on pornography sites all the time. No, we all have lusts. And the last one, click. And by nature were children of wrath, even as the rest. So, if all of those weren't enough to make you think, ooh, God might not be happy with me, Paul is very clear. He says, in addition to all that, by nature, without a single thing that you did, you were born of Adam. And you were a child of wrath. We're not going to talk too much about that, so we're going to go on. Actually, go back. Oh man, it got spoiled. Do you feel like a little bad about yourself? Hey, this is God's mirror. This is, according to the Bible, is God's perfect photograph. This is not just me and you, this is everyone. And why is it important to know who we are? It's because unless you know who you are, you can't quite appreciate what God has done. You can't quite appreciate what God wants to do. And very subjectively, maybe give me a subjective reason, I'm selfish. You can't have joy. You can have a boring Christian life if you don't realize where you were and where God wants you to be. And so we're going to get to the positive side. This is the salvation of God. Enoch, can you read this verse for us? Can you stand up and read it with a strong spirit? And everyone, if you are happy about these verses, you can say amen. The whole thing. Yeah, that's one slide.
But God, being rich in mercy,
amen.
Because of his great love,
amen.
With which he loved us,
amen.
Even when we were dead in our transgressions, yeah. Made us alive together with Christ.
Amen.
By grace you have been saved, amen. And raised us up with him, amen. And seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus,
amen.
So that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
For by grace you have been saved through faith.
Amen.
And not of yourselves.
Amen.
It is the grace of God.
Amen.
Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Enoch. We're not going to talk that much about these verses. Oh, this is so good. You know, even before you go to bed, it's not bad just to read these verses and just, wow, but God. But God. Wow, what a but. But God. Okay, we're gonna go on. We don't have that much time. Oh man, I forgot I did these verses. A few points. God is rich in mercy. Next. And he did something about it.
Amen.
He had great love. He acted because of his great love. Even though I'm like out of time, I want to ask someone, Tim, what's the difference between mercy and love?
Want someone to actually answer that?
I don't know, I'll just throw something out there. Okay, phone a friend, Kevin.